Chapter 18, A Puzzling Request. Not far from the lands belonging to Count Zinkovich, along the Swedish side of the border, there was the large estate of Prince Johan Kambari. Since the two estates were situated close to each other, Reb Nachum wondered if the Swedish prince would be interested in buying the properties of the Polish count. Reb Nachum traveled across the border for a personal meeting with the prince. The prince's estate was enormous. He owned an impressive number of houses, stores, workshops, inns, fields, and orchards. A huge stone fortress perched atop a prominent hilltop at the center of his estate served as the home of Prince Johan and his family. Reb Nachum was surprised when the powerful prince welcomed him into his castle with politeness and respect, although they had never met each other before. Reb Nachum introduced himself and explained his position in the Jewish community. He then proposed that the prince acquire the neighboring properties of the Polish count. The prince listened with attention as Reb Nachum spoke, but he did not rush to respond, neither in favor of the offer nor against it. Instead, he diverted the conversation to other topics, and the two of them sat and chatted for hours. Prince Johan showed deep interest in the lives of the Jews. Reb Nachum was astounded by the prince's total ignorance of everything connected to Jews and Judaism. In truth, there was no reason for a non-Jewish prince to have any knowledge of the Jewish way of life. Nevertheless, it seemed that because it all sounded so strange and surprising to the prince, he found it fascinating. The prince was unusually curious and asked an endless amount of questions. The prince insisted that Reb Nachum describe his own family history. Reb Nachum complied, and the prince listened with his eyes sparkling like a young child hearing for the first time about a distant and wondrous land. Reb Nachum was a descendant of Jews who had been driven out of Spain together with all the Jews of that country. He told the prince about the terrible persecutions that preceded the expulsion of Spanish Jewry, and he described the many misfortunes suffered by the exiled families as they wandered from one place to another. Despite all their suffering, Reb Nachum explained, they clung firmly to their Judaism. They were willing to give up their homes, wealth, and even their lives for the sake of their faith. Eventually, the friendly meeting with the prince came to an end. Prince Johan asked Reb Nachum to give him 2 to 3 weeks to consider buying the Zinkovich estate. On Reb Nachum's next visit to the prince, he was received with unusual warmth, as if he were an old and dear friend. "Welcome, and thank you for visiting my home," the prince called out in joy. "I really missed you," he added sincerely. Placing his hand on Reb Nachum's shoulder, the prince led him for a stroll among the gardens that surrounded the fortress. They followed a paved path for a couple of minutes and arrived at a well-kept, pleasant-looking house. The prince held the door wide open and informed the surprised Reb Nachum. "I wanted you to feel as comfortable as possible during your stay with me, so I prepared a house for you. Here you can keep your belongings, rest, and eat your meals as you wish. You may wish to pray or observe another of your commandments that you told me about. Well, you can do all of that here in comfort and without anyone disturbing you." Reb Nachum thanked the prince for his wonderful hospitality and instructed the assistant who had accompanied him on the visit, a man named Shilam, to bring their belongings from the carriage and set them down inside the house that had been prepared for them. He could not tell just how long his visit with the prince might last. It was always difficult to determine ahead of time when dealing with such large business deals. Sometimes an agreement could be reached and the documents signed immediately. On other occasions, the discussions and bargaining could drag on endlessly. The meeting between Reb Nachum and the prince began with a review of the details of the Zinkovich estate. Then the prince fell silent before announcing, "I have something to ask of you." "I know that this may sound strange," the prince continued, "but I will be ever so grateful if you will agree." Nachum's curiosity grew by the second. "Would you agree to spend another few days on my estate? I am really interested in hearing your descriptions of your family, your community, and the history of the Jewish people." Reb Nachum was astonished at such a request from a non-Jewish prince. He had never met a non-Jew with such great interest in the Jews and their way of life. He thought about it for a minute and then nodded his consent. "I will comply with your request, my master the prince," he replied. The prince beamed with delight. Thank you," he exclaimed. "I have no words to express my gratitude." Reb Nachum needed to make arrangements for his unexpected stay. He instructed his assistant to travel to Sebej and to return as soon as possible with a stockpile of kosher food and changes of clothing. "Hurry," he urged him. "Remember that there are only 2 days left until Shabbos." The next 2 days felt very strange to Reb Nachum as he spent his time teaching the prince about Avraham Avinu, Akedas Yitzchak, the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, the Beis Hamikdash, the Nevi'im, and as much about Judaism as he could describe. The prince was thrilled with the information. He thirstily drank in every word Reb Nachum uttered. Reb Nachum wondered whether the prince was planning to convert to Judaism. That, however, simply could not be the case. The prince belonged to a prestigious family. He was exceedingly wealthy and successful. There could be no logical reason for him to give up all of his honor and prestige in order to join the ranks of the poor, persecuted Jews. Anyhow, the prince had not given the slightest indication that he was interested in converting. Despite his curiosity, Reb Nachum refrained himself from asking the prince directly. He chose to wait a little longer in the hope that the great riddle would somehow be solved.